Didn't have to leave just yet. Sorry, all right.
Good morning to you. This morning, I find myself in an interesting situation in that what I have to share this morning was made very real to me yesterday. And that is, we need to be in a place where we have a faith and we have a faithfulness to be prepared for what is coming. And very simply, for me, that has been a message that's been on my heart for a couple of weeks now, that we need to be prepared, we need to be ready for what comes. And whether we like it or not, there are times in our life where we actually are not maybe in the place where we should be with the Lord. And so this morning, I just want to encourage you. I want to encourage all of us. I want to encourage myself by just sharing a little bit of our experiences and what has brought me to this place. Month before last, we had the privilege of being bought tickets to go to Canada, which was a serious blessing for us. We spent 5 weeks in Canada, and in 5 weeks, I didn't go to church. There were churches around us, but we don't know them. And some of them, by reputation, when you talk around, you think, I don't know if I actually want to go there. And we felt, both of us felt very uncomfortable with going to a strange church. So we went online. But whether you like it or not, going online is not the same as fellowship. When we came back, it was like a long drink of cold water, just so refreshing to come back into the fellowship of our church. And you know, you just think, oh, thank you for that. There is a, I don't know what it comes with it, but there's the presence of the Spirit, there's the fellowship that we get. And one of the things that I wanted to share on is, if we go to Hebrews 10, I'd like to read this piece of scripture. I normally have a lot of scripture, which I find encourages me, because it keeps it where it's meant to be, which is the Lord's Word. And I just want to go to Hebrews 10 and read from where are we? From verse 23. And that is Hebrews 11, verse 23. It says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. And so I was just doing a little bit of reading on why we should meet together. It's not just simply the need to fellowship, but we have an obligation, a sacred obligation, to worship and praise the Lord. And we can do that individually and personally, but something different happens when you come together in the body. The body has been put together by the Lord specifically with him as the head to do what? To serve him. And it's when we come together in that body that something happens in the praise and the worship. There's something that happens there that doesn't always happen in your personal time. And it's just the way the Lord's designed it. And there are times when maybe we don't want the fellowship. Maybe we're in a place where we are maybe not quite as pure and clean as we'd like to be. So we're inclined to hide a bit, possibly, where your heart's not maybe quite right. So you don't want to fellowship. But that is precisely the time that you need to fellowship. Because whether you like it, when you come together to fellowship with one another, we are accountable to one another. And the scripture here says to exhort one another. The word exhort, I love it. It says to, where are we? Let me read you what to exhort means. Sorry, I'll find it now for you. But exhort means to thoroughly encourage, to urgent appeal, strongly encourage, positively persuade. So there's a lot of things there. Also, the word warning comes into it. Advice comes into it. So exhorting is quite a big word when it comes to the scripture. And we mustn't forget that we are here to build one another. Unfortunately, in our walk, in the world that we come out of, we can get to the stage where we begin to look after ourselves and not one another. 5 weeks in Canada without going to church, going online is fine. Please don't misunderstand me, those of you who are listening, possibly. But there's nothing that beats fellowship. Because in that fellowship, we all grow. And we end up, if we don't have time together, if we don't encourage one another, if we don't encourage one another to persevere, to stay steadfast, to encourage each other, to just to keep going. Sometimes just to keep going is all we need, that encouragement, just to keep going. We don't have to be the Billy Grahams. We don't have to be all these other very powerful men that have been used by the Lord, Andrew included. And so we are just ordinary people. We have all been called by the Lord. We all stand before Him the same way. We are not any different from one another. And that is something that I take great confidence in, because when Rosemary was sharing last week on the virtues, the fruits of the Spirit, you realize that without getting together and meeting with each other, there are many of these virtues or gifts or fruits of the Spirit which don't come fully. To an extent, if you're by yourself, but I don't believe that you can develop the gifts of the Spirit, the virtues that we went through, without being in a fellowship. Because it's in that fellowship that you start to rub one another. So when you talk about patience, when you talk about perseverance, when you talk about self-discipline, there are a lot of things that you can actually make an excuse and say, I don't want to be here anymore. And it's easy just to stay at home. And so I'm obviously preaching to the choir here, because maybe the people that should be listening are actually not here. No, I didn't say that. Sorry. But you understand what I'm saying, and that it's really, really important that we can't develop, we can't grow, we can't mature as Christians alone. We can come to a certain place. I'm sure there are many devout women and men and women out there who do spend alone for different reasons. You know, they are alone, they're by themselves. They develop a very strong relationship with the Lord. And we should all be in that place of developing a strong personal relationship with the Lord. But it's when we come together, something starts to happen. The Lord can use that body to look after one another. How can you care for somebody if you never meet them? It's as simple as that. I'm still learning a lot of the people within our church here. And I don't know everybody, and I'll accept that. But I want to. Because if I don't know who you are, how can I care for you? How can I pray for you? How can I be in a place of being available to you to help you? And so we need that fellowship of coming together. In Hebrews 3, you don't have to go there, but in Hebrews 3, the writer of Hebrews, who I'm told is still under discussion, in Hebrews 3, very simply, he says, Hebrews 3, verse 12, "Beware, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is still called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." And you know, when we're looking at this, there's a lot of warnings that say, be careful. Because when you come together, if you've got things in your heart, you've got people that you can build relationships, you can share and say, look, I have this problem. You know, I'm sure there's most things, most pastors have heard most things. There are no surprises. And the Lord certainly has seen everything. Jesus himself has seen everything. He knows everything. He knows even the darkest, deepest, dirtiest secrets that we all have. No, not all of you. I'm talking about myself here. But whether you like it or not, we've got things in here that are not right. They're still not right. The Lord is still working on them. And we need to build those relationships, because when you're not in a place here of being accountable to one another, you begin to compromise. You begin to slowly slip. You do slide away. And you can harden your heart, especially if you have sin in your life and you don't want to be confronted. But again, it's your choice. But I want to encourage each and every one of us. We know people, relatives, friends who have been to church, you've come to church, you're staying away for some unreason. Let's encourage them to come back. Because this is where the Lord can deal with us all. He can give us that restoration. He can give us that healing. He can give us the peace. And, you know, as I say, we need to exhort one another. I love this word, exhort, because it means so much. And we need to be in the place where we're available to be exhorted. I don't know if any of you ever get down. I'm sure none of you get there. But there are days when you wake up and say, it's today. Or you wake up and say, it's today. They're very different inflection here. For this is the day that the Lord has made. And you know, there's the rest of that psalm says, I will rejoice and I will be glad in it. So it's a decision we make when we get up in the morning. But there are some mornings when I don't make that decision, when I am discouraged, I am down. I'm in a place now where it's a little bit darker than it should be. I'm sure none of you go there, but it's when we go there, we need people that can pray for us. We need people that we can talk to. We need people who can encourage us, to lift us up, to bring us to a place where we can walk once more. Anyway, but the Lord has put us in the body for that reason. And I'm not going to go into it, but if you want to make a note of 1 Corinthians 12:12-13, the Lord has placed us in the body as he wants us to be. In other words, we're all a different place. We all got different purposes. And maybe you get to the stage where as you get older and a bit frailer, you can't do the things you used to do. I certainly cannot do the things I used to. But the Lord puts things in front of you that you can do. Like Andrew says, we pray. We phone one another. We text one another. We encourage one another. It's a place of building one another up. And we've been put in the body for that specific purpose. So if you actually are in a place where you're not part of a body, you need to be. Because that is where, sucker comes from. And that is where we need to be available to. It's easy to stay away, especially if you don't get on with everybody else. I don't know if you've noticed that. It's easier just to not be confronted. But that's exactly what the Lord wants of us most of the time. And one times you pray for patience, and the Lord will put somebody in front of you. And he'll talk to you about perseverance, and he'll put an issue in front of you that you think, okay, Lord, tomorrow morning would be fine. And 30 years later, you're still waiting. And I won't say what it is that I've been waiting for, but just need to know that there are some things the Lord does immediately, and there's some things he makes you wait. And the old story is, Lord, give me patience, but I want it today. And so the Lord knows exactly what we need, and he uses the body to deal with it. But what I wanted to do was just to move on to something slightly different, because when I was reading the scripture as to why he was talking like this, when the writer was talking to the Hebrews, it says, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. And so when he gives us encouragement, it's for a fairly specific purpose. It's not the only purpose, but it's one of the main purposes. And what is the day that he's talking about? Are we all happy that maybe we don't. But if we're not aware of what it's all about, where we're going, the goal that's in place, and that is our eternal home, our eternal life, that when we move out of the mortal world we live in, we have got a place that the Lord has put aside for us, a place that the Lord has said, this is yours. Each and every one of us who's born again believer has been given a very specific place at the table of the Lord. Going back in time, I used to think, Lord, if you just let me in the door, I'll sit at the floor at the bottom. I just know who I am. Again, I'll pick on Rosemary, because I suppose I can. It's very simply, when you look at who we are, we get a place where we need to know, as Rosemary was saying, what we are, who we are, what is in here. Now, I know for a fact there is nothing good in me. There is nothing good in me. And I say that with I won't say pride, but let me be careful here, because that is part of it. But very simply, I do know who I am. In the early days, and my wife will bear me out, I was made an elder when I was fairly young in the Lord. And it wasn't the right thing, because I became very arrogant. No, you don't have to say that. I'll say it, okay. My wife. I became very, very self-righteous, very arrogant. And when you get in a place like that, there's a lot of pride in your life. And one of the things that the Lord hates is pride. And you cannot have a ministry or be able to minister to people when you're in that place. You may think you can, but you know what? People can feel you. They can smell you. They can taste you. Eh? So it doesn't matter what you say. It's what you are in here. And so for me, I've had to understand that there's a purpose in when he says, be ready for the day. I want to just read to you from John 14. I'll get it. It's in here somewhere, I'm sure. John 14, verses 1, 2, 6. And this is the Lord speaking to the disciples and to the crowd. It says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. And this is what he says to the disciples, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And what we have is a place with the Lord that is reserved for us. Our name is on the tag on the table. So if you're going to a dinner party, you go to a wedding or something, there are tables laid out. And on the tables, there's little name tags. Our name tags are at the Lord's table. Just to give you a graphic picture of what we need to be looking forward to. And we need to be, we need to keep our eyes on that hope. Because it's easy to lose sight of the hope that we have been given. Not whether we've earned, we cannot earn it, we cannot go there. And if you look at 1 Corinthians 9:26, I won't go there. But Paul says, he knows where he's going. He focuses on it. He runs the race like this is the only prize that there is. We were talking about reaching the end. And to me, I want to encourage all of us to persevere, to make sure that we understand where the hope is and to be prepared. You know, we have... we're just sang that song from the Gettys or Gettys and Townsend. And he says, till he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I stand. And that day that they speak about in Hebrews is going to come to all of us. And we need to be prepared and ready for when that day comes. Now, because you're sitting here in front of me, I would presume and hope and pray that each one of you keeps themselves in a place of being ready for what the Lord, when the Lord comes, when he returns, or when he calls you home. And you know, we look at a scripture. There's a lot of scriptures. I'm not going to read them all. But if you go through the scriptures, when you start to look about being ready, being alert, every one of them, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, every one of them, Peter, James, Paul, all of them, in some form or other, tell us all to be alert, to be aware, to be ready and prepared. And if we're not, I'm not too sure. Yeah, all I know is that we need to be prepared, because the Lord comes at a time where we don't expect it. And the parable of the virgins, Matthew 25, we all know the parable of the virgins. They waited, and eventually five of them got, I would suggest, lazy, and let's put it right where it is. Lazy is a good word. But they didn't spend the time to keep their oil topped up. What do we mean by the oil being topped up? And that's very simply, we've got the Holy Spirit. We need to be in the place where we are praying, we are studying. We don't have to get, what's the word I'm looking for? It's something that we do from the heart, whether it's a little bit or lots. It's what your heart is in. As long as your heart is for the Lord, for what it is that he wants of us, we'll keep that oil. Because without that oil, we end up going dry. And I've been to the place where I haven't been fellowshipping. And I've ended up being down, discouraged, and dry is the word that a lot of Christians use. Dry, and that refers, for me, to the virgins without the oil. because they don't have enough oil and their lamps are going to be burning dry. And we need to be prepared and be ready for it. And when we're in the situations like this, and we have this the monotonous everyday life of ours, we can get down, we can sort of lose sight of what's going on. But we need to have the faith to be able to see through the circumstances, situations, the emotions that we all have. We need to see through that for what the Lord has in place for us. And, you know, we, in Matthew 24, in fact, Matthew 24, if you'd like to maybe turn with me to Matthew 24. Matthew, let me just get you on Matthew 24. And I will just read he's talking about how no one knows the hour or the day. And what he says, that we look around us today and we see the turmoil, we see things being turned upside down. We see the world literally in a place I don't understand. And I've just had my brother here. He's a fully-fledged pagan unbeliever, non-believer. But even he, we're sitting talking about the things that he is seeing. And him, even as a non-believer, he can see things are just not right. Things are changing where we don't understand. And so we need to be alert to it. And we need to be careful that when the pressure comes on, that we don't end up compromising and falling away. Because it's easy when we're all in a nice place, everything's going well. But it's when the pressure comes. And Matthew, Mark, Luke, they all speak on being ready. Mark says, be on guard and alert. Don't you know? You don't know when the Lord is coming. It'll be suddenly and unexpectedly. Luke, be dressed and ready. I find that quite interesting. It's a slightly different approach to the scriptures. Be dressed in and ready. So we do live in a world of turmoil. We live in a world where we can have our days when we rejoice and our days when we'll be down. But we all have got to make that decision that I will rejoice and be glad in him. And we can get discouraged. And basically, in terms of self-righteousness, it's easy to be self-righteous. It's easy to be religious as well. But you know, the one thing we need to understand, we can get to a place where we're discouraged. We think, I'm not good enough. I can't do this anymore. I cannot do this. And that is, again, the situation that we find ourselves when we're trying to do it ourselves. Because when you try to do it yourself, you'll reach a certain level of your own personal discipline and you will fail. You will fail. But when you want to actually walk with the Lord and truly grow with him, we need to accept that it's only through his strength that we can actually grow. We can't do it in ourselves. And to take a bit of encouragement, I'm not going to be too long this morning. We have a great high priest who understands who we are. So when we get to that stage of being discouraged and we fall and we can't make it, we have a high priest that we can come before. We can say, Lord, I'm here. Forgive me. We have a place where we can repent. Who of you has never fallen? We all fall. And I won't look at anybody, but basically we all fall. We all fall short of the glory of God. And we need to understand that ability to come before him and ask forgiveness, to repent. And I mean repent. I don't mean to have remorse when you get caught with your fingers in the till. All right. I'm talking about a genuine repentance where you say, I don't want to do this anymore. And we need to be understanding that the Lord is willing to forgive us. To understand that we are actually not good enough, but that he makes us good enough. You know, Paul, where am I? I'm just trying to work out. When Paul himself says, who can... where am I? You know, Paul himself, who will rescue me from this sinful flesh of mine? He says, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ who has set me free. And we need to understand we have been set free. And One thing I do want to do is not to just, it's not a dialogue. If you read some of the scriptures from Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, all of the epistles have all got this warning about the end times. We need to be ready. But we need to understand that Christ chose us. And in John 15, which was read last week, John 15, verse 16, Jesus chose us. God chose us in Jesus. We didn't choose him. And because he chose us for a purpose, and he will stand by us. He will care for us. He will look after us. He will sustain us. But it's for us to make that decision that we want him to do that. We can say, I don't want that. I'm going to try and do it myself. And you will fail. But we need to go before him and say, Lord, I need help. And I know I need help. We've tried this before, and it doesn't work very well. And the other thing is that because he's chosen us, in Ephesians 3, verse 20, it says, we have no idea what the Lord has in store for us. Superabundantly is the word that is used in one of the translations. We have no idea what the Lord has in store for us. And it's all for good. It's not for bad. But again, are we prepared to accept what he has for us? I just want to read from 1 Peter 1. Verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. We have a God that truly loves us, who will truly care for us. And no matter what you do, where you are, what situation you're facing, we need to have the faith to see through it all, to say, Lord, this is what I see. I see the waves of the mountains, like Peter walking on the water. He was fine until he looked up and saw the waves. We're just the same. And we need to rely on Jesus and say, Lord, I need you to lift me up. I need you to help me. I need you to forgive me. He's available. Just call on him. And you know, Peter, in Peter 1, I just want to read 1 Peter 1. I just want to see the other one here. In 1 Peter 1, it says that your faith will be tested. I think it's interesting that we are going to find times in our lives where we do have troubles around us. In this you greatly, it says here, who are kept by the power of God, reading from verse 5 again, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And we need to understand the Lord is there for us. And yes, we are going to have trials and tribulations in this world. And the one thing I did want to read from is Philippians 3, where if you go to Philippians 3, Philippians 3, verses 12 to 16. And this is Paul. Not that I've already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Jesus Christ has laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this in mind. And if it is anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree you have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. I just want to focus on verse 16. And he says, let us be of the same mind. Never is to the degree that you've really attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us be of the same mind. What he's saying to us is we need to just walk where we've understood. What we've learned, where we've walked, what we've been taught, that is where we must go. We mustn't try to be what we're not, because it's our heart that matters, and it's where your heart is that we need to walk by what we've been taught. And it actually is very clear that we don't need to know it all. We don't need to understand every bit of scripture. We just need to walk with what we understand, to be faithful for what the Lord has given us. And we need to put effort into it, and it doesn't come for free. There is a price to be paid. You know, in Matthew 16:24, it says, if any man would follow after me, let him deny himself, let him pick up his cross and follow me. And if we don't spend a bit of effort and time, we are going to be in a place like the 10 virgins where your oil is going to be dry. And we need to be careful, because it doesn't take a lot of effort, but it does take effort. It does require you to not be physically or spiritually lazy. And I use the word lazy. I'm in good company here, so I'm sure I can use that word. But we need to understand one more thing, and that is the devil condemns us. If we fall and we trip and we make a mistake, the devil condemns us. Christ, the Holy Spirit, convicts us. And we have got a place where we can come before the Lord and ask that forgiveness and move on. And Galatians 6:9 says, don't grow weary in doing good, for in time there will be a reward for it. Don't give up doing good to all. And we need to focus primarily on the fellowship that we have right here, the brothers and sisters that we have in our church here. This is where we start. Don't say we finish yet, but this is where we need to start. If we can't look after each other within the body of Christ, you know, we're not doing very well. But it says here, don't grow weary, for in due time you will reap a reward. And I just want to encourage you this morning that the Lord knows who we are. And all he wants is for our hearts to be in the place where we are righteous in his name before him. If we're in a place of sin, we need to repent. We need to come back to him immediately. We don't know when the Lord will come. And there's a lot of scripture. As I said, I went through scripture, and literally all the gospels and most of the epistles have got a bit of a passage. It's amazing what you find when you start to read. That encourages us to be ready, to be alert, to be on your guard. Mark, to be dressed and ready. I find that really interesting. So don't get caught in your nightgown and things like that. So I don't know. But we need to be, I want to encourage us all that we need to be ready. We need to be faithful to what the Lord wants of us, and we need to be ready and prepared for what is to come. And it may not just apply for the end times, but what the Lord is going to do. And he is going to do something very special. And if we're not in that right place where the oil is burning and we're available, we will lose out. We'll be standing on the sidelines saying, gee, I wish I'd been there. And so I just want to encourage you. The Lord is faithful. And the Lord himself has done all the preparation. He's done all the work. All we've got to do is be faithful and prepared for him. And that doesn't take a lot, but it does take some effort. So let us pray. Lord, I just thank you for the privilege that you give us of belonging to you, Lord, of being part of your body, being part of your kingdom. Lord, we thank you for the privilege that you've given us by giving us a place at your table, Lord. For Lord, you are the great high priest, Lord, and we know that we can come before you at any time and ask forgiveness, Lord. As we repent, Lord, you cleanse us. I know that you cleanse us, Lord. 1 John tells us that, Lord, that if we repent, Lord, if we ask forgiveness and repent, you are faithful and just, Lord, to forgive us our sins. And Lord, you don't only forgive our sins, you wash them away, Lord. So I thank you, Lord, for this morning. Thank you, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that each of our hearts be open to what it is you are saying to us. So I thank you, Jesus. Worship you, praise you, glorify you. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Amen.